Hey, everybody. Happy Hump Day. It's Wednesday, May 18th, 2022. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and we appreciate you being here with us. We got a show today with Jacob Bruno. Jacob is a the VP of Professional Learning at NWEA, which you probably all know is a not-for-profit research and educational service provider. They serve K-12, and they're huge in assessment. You guys all know that. Okay, and Jacob's here. He's going to talk about the professional learning they're now offering, okay, which looks like it's going to be his bailiwick to run, and so we're happy to have him here, and we'll talk about all the wonderful things that they're doing. Here's the wonderful things that we do. Good segue there, Larry. Okay, we're the American Consortium for Equity in Education, and our home website is ACE-ED.org, ACE-ED.org. And over there is the new issue of our magazine, Equity and Access, Pre-K-12. Click on the cover, read an interesting issue. It's wonderful, as usual. All right. We archive all our podcasts over at ACE-ED.org. We have a link to our teacher retention site, okay, which is the big thing out there, and we're very concerned about this. It's the huge elephant in the room these days, okay, and everybody's talking about it. We're trying to do something about it. We have great professional learning for teachers, okay, that we hope districts will provide, okay, for this day and age. It's over at you can click through to a professional to teacher-retention.com from ace-ed.org. And SEL Today is our SEL resource site. That's over there as well. Everything we do, we love having you over there. We get a lot of folks over there. I hope you're one of them at ace-ed.org. Oh, and I forgot, we have our awards program. Excellence in Equity Awards are running. You can nominate through June 30th. Nominate yourself or a colleague or your school or a company you work with. If you are a company, you can nominate the products that you have, et cetera, et cetera. It's pretty cool. We're getting a lot of response to that, and I hope you join in the fun. Again, that's linked over at ace-ed.org over at awards. Okay, so check it all out. It's good stuff. Almost forgot. Here's Jacob. Let me bring him on here. Click it. There we go.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Hey, my pleasure, my friend. Where are you today? I'm good. Where are you?
I am in the rainy Pacific Northwest. It's a little early here, but it's chilly and rainy. That's what we come to expect.
Where are you, in Oregon or Washington? Where are you?
No, I'm south side of Mount St. Helens, up in the woods.
I've flown over Mount St. Helens. You're south side of there? What town? Where are you?
Yeah, south, the side that didn't blow out. That's right, yeah.
Wow. And what town are you in, if I may ask?
Kind of between towns, Woodland, La Center, if you know the area.
Wow, I'm impressed. First person I've ever talked to who talked to me about Mount St. Helens. And I remember flying over it about 3 months after it blew its top. And it was just unbelievable.
No kidding.
Wow.
I bet.
The pilot on this flight actually flew over. He purposely flew over what was left of the top of the mountain, okay, on my way to Seattle. All right? And
I've
said,
done that
you're not
once,
going to believe what you're going to see.
Yeah, it's pretty spectacular for sure, yeah.
It is. And it was it was literally a huge volcanic eruption. How old are you, Jacob? Were you alive when that thing blew? I don't remember when the hell it blew.
I was alive. Yeah. I was in first grade. But my neighbor was living right here. I mean, you know, odd story. He said he was fishing on the lake just south of there. Didn't hear it, but you could hear the explosion on the north side all the way to Canada. The story
Wow.
the locals tell. Yeah,
wow.
pretty crazy. Yeah.
Wow, it is. It's pretty wild. Wow. Thank you for being there at Mount St. Helens. You brought up a memory of something that was just spectacular. All right, we've got to change the subject back to education.
Yeah.
Your VP of, Your VP of Professional Learning, okay, at NWEA. And I think we should start, just in case, tell everybody about what NWEA does.
Well, we are, as you said, a not-for-profit
yep.
Based here in the Pacific Northwest. Been around about 40 years. We have really been kind of at the forefront for a long time of computer adaptive testing, really, you know, trying to get the, and we have, I would say, the most trusted data in terms of, you know, interim measures, you know, kids around the world really looking at growth over time on a stable scale, the RIT scale. So it's a really trusted measure. You know, I've been listening to your program, by the way. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I love what you do, Larry. I love your program. But, you know, in terms of, like, measuring where kids are over time, the MAP growth assessment is what we're, you know, known for, I would suppose, mostly.
Yeah,
but there's a lot more that we do, you know, for the world. So, anyway, I'll yield there.
Well, that was a great thing. And is the professional learning, of which you are VP of that particular section,
mm-hmm.
of NWEA,
mm-hmm.
okay, is this something new? I don't remember this from before. You may have had this for years, but I have a feeling this is either a new take or a new thing. What's going on with professional learning?
Yeah.
By the way, in a very well-respected company. Let me just make that point. Very well respected.
I appreciate that. And, you know, I would draw a connection to, you know, your intro and the professional learning, you know, you provide. And I think you're name the teacher retention issues.
Brutal.
When you think about NWEA and you think about MAP growth, you could be forgiven for thinking of us as an assessment vendor. But
yeah,
as
I think most people do.
Yeah, again, you could be forgiven for that. But I'll tell you, our mission at NWEA is partnering to help all kids learn. Now, you know, you could say, oh, well, that's probably just a marketing slogan. I'm here to tell you that the driven and brilliant people I work with, you know, it's not a marketing slogan. It's an aspiration that we continue to strive for. And so interprofessional learning here, a good assessment, you know, even the most trusted growth data in the market, which is what NWEA has through MAP Growth, that data alone is not going to move the dial for kids if educators don't know how to contextualize and take advantage of it. If kids don't know that as well, you know, to the elements of student agency, educator effectiveness. So what we've done is looking at the needs that educators have around data. Where can we lean into support? Because you name teacher retention. We know ed prep. More and more teachers are emergency certified or underprepared to no fault of their own, just conditions of the world as it is. So we want to lean in and support ecosystem around data.
You know, that's incredibly important. That's a very good point. You know, I've often said, and I really haven't been in an education school for a long time, but I'm going to ask it this way. What are you hearing, if you're hearing anything, Jacob, about how teachers are trained in the use of data? Okay. Do you know anything about that side of it? You know, from the what they're doing in education schools with this?
Because data is a key word in there
in the K-12. Data is key. And superintendents talk to me all the time, everyone, oh, we need data, you know, we use data, we're data-driven, all that. But how well are the education schools, okay, teaching people in both graduate and undergraduate about data?
It is happening in pockets, and I would say small pockets. Imagine the pants you wear, the little tiny coin pocket, you know, it's not happening at scale. It's not happening nearly the way it needs to. I had the good fortune for a number of years working at the Assessment Training Institute with Rick Stiggins, who coined the term assessment literacy. And, through that, worked through the CCSSO's network to transform ed prep.
Yeah.
And it's a known issue, be it institutions of higher ed, alt cert, emergency cert, even programs like TFA. You know, there's a lot of focus on pedagogy, not a lot of focus on assessment, on data, on the integration of data with instruction. And so I hate to say this, but a lot of us in the field, through no fault of our own, are kind of thrown into the deep end of the pool need to fake it till we make it, right? And that creates disparities in our approaches to data.
Yeah, and you know, that's interesting to say that because I'm much, much older than you. Okay, much older than a lot of people, all right? A hell of a lot of people, all right? But, okay, when I was in education school, okay, which was 10,000 years ago, all right, they never talked about anything with data or assessment, okay? I was going to be a history teacher. 90% of my courses were in history, and the education courses were absolutely horrendous, okay? They were mostly philosophical and... Although that's nice to know, it wasn't useful in the slightest. Okay, you learned by doing. All right? And again, these days, all right, we should know this. A, we need data. And B, the education schools, we know how people learn now. It's called neuroscience. Okay? We're learning how people learn. All right? And these things have to be really taught because education, as I always say, is a science while teaching is an art. All right? And, you know, it's falling on companies like yours, okay, to help people understand the data because the companies that provide the data, all the companies that provide all the products and services, okay, are giving you data, but they're not the ones teaching the teachers how to use it, okay? And
that's right.
I'm just kind of rambling here, but I'm telling you, I think it's nuts that we've let this happen, okay? It would be like a doctor, you forget to teach them heart. They just take a course in heart. Let's move on, okay? It's just absurd. I'm glad you're doing
right,
this.
Larry,
is my whole point.
You know, when you are underprepared and thrown into really complex situations with the idiosyncrasies of day to day, kid to kid, class to class, what you pivot to then is becoming what we term a learner manager. I'm focused on classroom management. I'm focused on my scope and sequence, and I do this, I do this, I do this, you know, one step after the next. Without that real dynamic interchange that you need with data, the integration of data within the context of the learning environment, to engage kids in the process, right, so that kids become savvy, empowered learners themselves, what Hattie would call assessment capable, right? Just knowing where the old Roy Sadler questions, where am I now, where am I going, how am I going to close the gap? That's what we're after. And to your point, the preparation most people receive don't equip us to make that happen. Yeah.
That's not good, is it? That's not good. Okay. That's where you guys and everybody who does professional learning steps in. So on that note, okay, which, you know, I understand the background level. What are you guys doing in the field? Are you just doing data, teaching people how to do data? What are your courses? What are you offering?
It's a really good question. Sorry, Larry, say that again.
No, do your sales pitch. Do it.
What are you pushing
to the schools? I love it. Go ahead.
Well, look, there is what we've been known for, what you alluded to, right? The work that is derivative of our data. So what we call in our suite, data to support instruction. It is about effectively applying data to inform and support instructional decisions day to day, week to week, unit to unit in the classroom. That is the core of what we've been known for, what you would expect. But as we kind of step back, take a wider lens of, but that's insufficient, right? So what are the other elements? We have launched a series on responsive teaching and learning, built, frankly, on the work of Dylan Willem and Keeping Learning on Track, but really evolving forward, right, to this notion of helping educators build assessment-empowered classrooms that engage and ignite student learning. So nurturing collaborative cultures in the classroom through a number of elements. To building learning pathways with students, activating learners with quality classroom assessments, leveraging supports for success, and engaging students in collecting learning evidence. These being independent of the assessments, these are just good practices, independent of any product, any curriculum for teachers and students to really engage in. two more areas where we really lean in is content-focused learning. So that's great. You can have great data. You can know how to have a responsive teaching environment. But if you don't have the pedagogical depth, the content knowledge depth to help scaffold for kids and remove the scaffolding when appropriate, then again, you know, data and good data practice are going to fall short of its promise with kids. So we're really leaning in, you know, with science of reading, with fluency, with mathematics, pedagogical knowledge. And then that final element for us at this stage is creating supportive environments, really kind of nodding to the five essentials from the University of Chicago, looking at equitable instruction, social and emotional learning to really nurture student success in the classroom, equity data frames and the like. Again, surrounding the context of data as a discrete element within the learning process.
I like it. And is this virtual learning? Is it a computer program that a school buys, or does somebody come in and talk to a school for 32 times? What's it work? Well, how's that work?
Yeah,
what is it?
That's, yep. Thank you, pandemic. Cool. Can I say all the above? You know,
what used to be
pre-pandemic was face-to-face. 95% of what we did was face-to-face learning. Of course, with the pandemic, that flipped to 95% virtual.
Yeah.
Now the pendulum is starting to settle to about, you know, 50-50, to be real honest, and the launching of you know, asynchronous learning as well. So teachers really point of use anytime, any place. You know, there's formats and opportunities to learn where they want to learn best.
Cool. And are you finding that you're selling this to school districts? Are you selling this to schools? Are you selling this to individual teachers? How's it working? What are you looking for?
You know, all the above. I would say
The
first two that you mentioned, districts and schools, are the predominant areas where we drive these kind of these sessions with educators. I think we've served approximately this school year so far, we are approaching a quarter of a million teachers trained this year, which is pretty staggering.
That's nice.
Yeah, but we don't do a lot of direct, you know, sales. We do events to, you know, webinars and various kind of regional events that teachers can buy seats to. But as of yet, we're not, you know, selling directly to teachers beyond that venue. So.
Okay, so it's taking the form of webinars. Okay, that are pre-announced and that people can sign up for, or a school district can sign up everybody for it, or whatever. Okay, but you will go into a school district if need be. But is when you talk about training you're doing, I'm just going to look here and say, like, I have it here, empowered assessment empowered classrooms. Okay, let's take that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is that a good one?
Mm-hmm.
Can I take that one, Jacob?
Sure, yeah, sure.
Okay, so this is what I'm trying to understand. Is that like a three-hour session? Is that a full in-service day? Or is that an eight-week course that you do 2 hours a week for 4 weeks, something like that? That's what I was wondering.
It's a good question, yeah. So the webinars, first of all, kind of jump back for a sec. Yeah, I'll jump back for a second. Webinars are actually not the main driver of what we do. That is a venue by which we can get individual teachers. You know, my school's not doing anything, my district's not doing anything, but I'm very interested. So there are those kinds of things. When you start breaking into, you know, for example, as you bring up the assessment empowered classrooms, our learning is robust. So, 30 hours, 45 hours, but broken up, a suite like that, broken up into 3, 6, and 9 hour chunks to help learners, to help educators really dive into analyzing and applying learner context, cultivating a community of learning, assessment purpose. You know, digging into all of these elements actually takes time at depth to prepare teachers well. So what we refer to as sort of a Lego block model, right? So bite-sized chunks that stack on each other, not unlike the ways that we think about micro-credentialing or building competency through a chain of connected but self-directed learning. So
It makes perfect sense. I always love to ask this question. Okay, you're vice president of professional learning, and it sounds to me like you went through an education school. Okay, the way you said that, I may be totally off the track there. Well, what's your background?
No, you're correct.
What's your background?
Well, I was worried.
And by the way, you're not interviewing for a job you already have, and I'm just curious. People always love to know this guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in my younger years a bit of a rambler. I went to law school, realized quickly that wasn't it. I joined a band and was a professional musician for a while.
What'd you play?
I played guitar, piano, and sang. And
cool.
And that was hard living. I like to say I'm the only person you'll meet that got into teaching for the money. But it's hard to be an artist.
My son's a professional musician. He's a drummer, okay? And he went to Berklee College of Music, the whole schmear, okay? But that's a very funny line. I'm going to use that line with him. That's great. I love it.
That's great. I was a rural schools coordinator with AmeriCorps, went to the University of Oregon, got my master's of teaching. Yep. Moved to the Portland area and began teaching high school mathematics, and moved into coaching teachers and the like. I worked for a long time at Pearson, lifetime ago, when they acquired Rick Stiggins Assessment Training Institute. I worked with the PSYOP authors, left there, went to Corwin. Left there, went to Scholastic, was at the CCSSO for a period of time, and have
I work with them quite often. Yeah, I love CCSSO.
They're great. Everybody,
our paths never crossed.
Your name is really familiar, and
thank you.
Your voice is as well. So I'm sure I was just an awe-inspired audience member at some stage when you were on the stage. But
thank you, Jacob.
Life has its way of unfolding and leading you where you need to be, and here we are.
Well, that's good. It's like I said, you're not interviewing, but a damn good hire by NWEA. I keep saying WNEA. I must be thinking of basketball, okay? NWEA, okay? And
there you go.
Yeah. Do you know, is Elizabeth Barker still there?
She is indeed. Yep. Still
she's
doing great, great work here.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's written for us. We have a magazine. I don't know if you heard me say it. We have Equity and Access. She has written for us from time to time. Okay. We got to get back in touch with her. And is Chris still running the show there? Over at NWEA?
Oh, Chris Minnick is running the show and just great leadership. I'll tell you, really, as you heard, I've worked in a lot of places, worked with great people, but brilliant, mission-driven people here, it's a special place for sure.
Yeah, actually, wait a minute. Was Chris at CCSSO before he went to NWEA?
He was, yeah. He was the executive director.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Okay, I like CCSSO, and I like Chris. Tell him I said hello, for goodness sakes. It's great. I forgot about that little connection there. It's two good groups. Okay, so where are we now? How do people get in touch with you? What do they have to do, Jacob?
That's a great question. There are a lot of ways to get in touch with us. If you are a district currently using one of our assessment products, then it's as simple as speaking with your account manager or account executive to talk to us. If you're not, and that's the beauty of this suite of learning that is product independent. So even if you're not using Map Growth or Map Reading Fluency or Map Accelerator or our partnership with Khan Academy, and you're interested in digging deep, we've hired just brilliant people from all over the market to help us drive, for example, our literacy learning, our mathematics learning, our areas of kind of product independent, our relationship with the University of Chicago, for example. So in those cases, you can just go to NWEA.org and ask for more information. I hesitate to give my phone number out on your podcast, but there's no wrong way to find us, but there's a lot of great work, and we are eager to help.
Right, I know, and it's a goddamn good company. Look at me, I'm cursing here. It's a damn good company, okay? I got to forgive me, everybody. You're wrong. That's the first time I've done that in years. I apologize. That's great. I love it. Okay. Well, there you are. You guys are a great company. That's really funny. You guys are a great company, okay, and you do good work out there. And like I said, you're extremely well-respected, and I hope that people take advantage, okay, the professional learning stuff that you offered. And Jacob, you're in charge of the professional learning, so I hope they contact you, okay? Come back with us sometime.
I do as well. I would love to, Larry. I enjoyed the conversation, and you know, there's just, as you name, I'm going to bring it back to what you started with. Teacher retention is such a critical issue today, and we know that you know, being an effective educator is well, you know, I heard Charlotte Danielson say once, the highly effective is a place you visit. It's not a place you live. This is a this is a profession that demands a lot, and you have to continue to invest in yourself on behalf of your kids. And you know, to that end, we're here to partner. We want to help every educator ensure that they're doing their best, such that every kid has every opportunity. There's equitable opportunity and access to the kind of learning that we need for our society at this stage. So.
Yeah, and your point is well taken. If we don't train teachers well, especially in this day and age, okay, they're going to get very frustrated, okay? And if they don't feel good about their job and really moving kids forward, all right, they're going to leave, okay? And that's why PD is so important these days. So I thank you, Jacob. We're in touch, my friend. I hope we talk again soon. You're a good guy.
I hope we do too, Larry. You have a great day.
You too. Thanks, Jacob. Take care and give my regards to Mount St. Helens from ground level.
I will. Be well, sir.
Okay? Take care, my friend. Bye-bye. Bye. Jacob Bruno, everybody, from NWEA. Why was I saying WN? NWEA.org. And Jacob's a VP of professional learning. I'm having a good time on the show today. All right. We're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.